I am Planta on the line. This is the commentary.ca. We focus now on the provincial referendum campaign as we talk to Shoni Field, a spokesperson for the British Columbians for STV organization. In 2004, before the last provincial election, the Citizens Assembly on Electoral Reform recommended that British Columbians replace the current electoral system with a new one, BCSTV. The referendum gained 57.7% approval, but fell short of the 60% needed for it to be implemented. Because of the close call, the government, to its credit, opted to put the question back on the ballot this time around, and here we are. The question on the ballot is, which electoral system should British Columbia use to elect members to the Provincial Legislative Assembly? The existing electoral system, first past the post, or the single transferable vote electoral system, BCSTV, proposed by the Citizens' Assembly on Electoral Reform. Ms. Field joins me now to explain BCSTV and why we should vote for it on May 12th. She is a communications and fundraising consultant by profession and an advocate for electorate reform by chance. She was randomly selected to be a member of the BC Citizens' Assembly and went on to become co-chair and media spokesperson of their alumni organization and a director of Fair Voting BC. The website for more information is stv.ca. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Shoni Field. Good morning, Ms. Field.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Were you always interested in electoral reform?
No, not at all. I wasn't involved in political parties. I hadn't really studied electoral reform. It simply, my name was pulled out of a hat, and I was asked to take on this job on behalf of British Columbians.
And now, how long did the process take? Was it about a year or so?
Citizens Assembly worked for 11 months. We learned, we went out and listened to British Columbians, we deliberated, and that was an 11-month process.
And was it fun for you?
It was amazing. It was a really amazing experience to have people from all around the province. There was a man and a woman from every constituency in BC, and we hear so much about how polarized our province was. It was really amazing to meet people from all around the province, from all walks of life and voters all across the political spectrum, and learn actually we share some pretty common values about how we'd like politics to work in BC. And not only did the 160 members share that common vision, but we heard that across BC when we went out and talked to British Columbians.
What were some of the proposals that the Assembly considered other than STV?
Well, what the Assembly did was we had public hearings, and we had 1,600 written submissions and talked to thousands of people. And we looked at what the values were that we were hearing. And people, there was this sort of united themes of people wanted a fair and accurate system that didn't distort our vote. They wanted a system that gave much more effective local representation and a system that gave voters more choice. And so when we looked at all the sort of five electoral families out there in the world, only two really met all three of those criteria, mixed member proportional and single transferable vote. So we looked at both of those and measured them against our criteria again. And in terms of fairness and proportionality, they were both equivalent. And in terms of voter choice, we felt that single transferable vote that gave British Columbians, gave voters the final choice on which candidates would be successful from a party was far more in keeping with what British Columbians wanted. And then the big one for us was local representation. BCSTV just makes local representation far more effective for people.
Now, I'm wondering how you decide between the two. Was there a vote? There was obviously debate, but at the end of the day, the decision, was it taken because of a vote?
Yes, we did have a vote, and 80% of the Assembly preferred single transferable vote.
You know, is this the same, this STV proposal, is this the same system that was in place in 1952 when W.A.C. Bennett was first elected?
No, that's actually a different system. That's called an alternative vote system. You are still ranking your preferences when you vote, 1, 2, 3, but there is only one seat to fill, so you still get those very distorted outcomes that our current system gives. I mean, right now, if a party gets 40% of the votes, they win 60% of the seats, and that still happened under that old AV system. But because single transferable vote has these multi-member districts where several MLAs are to be elected, they can they can count far more of the vote. 80 to 90% of people will have an MLA of their choice.
Now, we had David Schreck on last week, and he made mention of Ireland, where they have this system in place, and he says it's chaos.
Ireland is a very smoothly running, stable country. It is absolutely not chaos, and the voters love STV there. They've been asked in referendum twice to get rid of it. The two large political parties would like to have the distortions of first past the post, but the people have said absolutely not. This gives us accountable local representatives that and a government that listens to us.
Now, the two states where STV is used, Ireland and Malta, are geographically small.
It's also used actually in states in Senate level and in states in Australia too.
Now, does that work in BC? Will STV work in BC because it's so geographically large?
STV actually, I think, was really designed with a geographic location like BC in mind. You can customize it to the population density in a region. So we can have 5 and 6 members in the lower mainland where population is very dense, and yet we can have 2 members in Peace River country where it's far more rural. And both regions still get the benefits of STV, but we can customize it to suit. So I think it's actually perfectly designed for BC.
Now, if it passes this time around, it'll be implemented for the next election, correct?
That's right, in 2013.
And we will still have 85 members, is it?
That's right. No more politicians. The same amount.
Now, I'm curious, does STV, will it destroy the hold that parties have on the nomination process for candidates that we will see on the ballot?
Well, there will still be political parties. They're a really necessary way of people, coming together around things they believe in. And political parties will still put forward candidates. But it's the voter that gets the final choice on which candidate best represents that party. And so if you have 3 or 4 NDP or Liberal candidates or a couple of Green Party candidates, the voter says, I like candidate A. Candidate B, not at all, not competent to do the job. But they can make that choice and still vote for the party of their choice. So it does make the local elections far more competitive, and it really takes away that stranglehold that party discipline has on our MLAs right now. With STV, the MLA gets just a little bit of leverage, which allows them to push back against that party discipline and stand up for their community on issues that are important.
Now, one of the things that we hear from the no side is that it is a complicated process. It's just as easy, isn't it, as when we vote municipally here in Vancouver, right?
Absolutely. And I don't think that British Columbians are any less competent than the Irish and the Australians, and they've been doing it for 90-plus years with high levels of satisfaction.
But the problem that we see municipally in Vancouver is that where we have to vote for 10 councillors, for example, or X number of parks board people or school board people, is that depending on the election, it's always one party over another. Like in mm-hmm. the current makeup, we have, I think it's 9 Vision candidates, or 7 Vision, 2 COPE, and 1 NPA. So I'm thinking in an STV election, we'll have much the same as we do now.
Absolutely not. Block voting at the municipality is pretty similar to our current first-past-the-post system. It's just that you get 10 votes instead of 1, but you get these disproportionate, distorted results that don't reflect how actually people voted. Now, because in STV it's a ranked preference, you put your first choice, you put your second choice, as many as you want, you don't have more than one vote. You still only have one vote, but you get 80 to 90% of people will have an MLA that they chose, and that's quite different from what happens currently with municipal or provincial politics, where only 40 to 50% of people get an MLA that they choose. So you'll end up, based on how BC votes, looking across the province, we're likely to end up with at least one governing member and at least one opposition member in every district, and then, 2 or 3 more of each, or independents or Green Party, depending on how it votes. But we will see that representation from several different parties in a district.
So let's walk through this process. Let's say we have to elect in our riding 2 MLAs, and there are, let's say, 20 candidates. I can mark down on my ballot either one or two. I can check them off, right?
That's right. You just write 1, 2, 3 next to the candidates of your choice. Now, just to jump in here, if there was 2 seats to fill, we're not likely to see 20 candidates. We'd probably see more in the sort of 7 to 10 range of candidates.
So let's say we have 10 candidates and we have to elect 2. I can take the ballot and I can rank all 10 of them, right?
You can if you choose, yes.
Now, if you voted for, let's say, 2 people from a certain political party that you like, and I voted, I ranked my candidates from 1 to 10, will my ballot get counted more than, say, yours?
No. Actually, the single part of single transferable vote is everybody only has 1 vote. But what it does is ensure that your whole vote counts. Currently, we're used to thinking about our vote like a one thing that can't be broken up. But think of a vote like a loony, and it, you know, it can be broken up into pocket change. So I give my loony to my first choice, and my first choice may get elected and may need my whole loony, so my loony stays there. Or I may give it to my first choice, and my first choice gets eliminated. They were the least popular, but FTV says, well, you still deserve an MLA of your choice, so then my whole loony goes to my second choice. Or the third possibility is I may give my loony to my first choice, and my first choice gets far more votes than they need. They actually only need 75 cents of my loony, and so I get 25 cents back to spend on my second choice. But regardless of how which option happens, you still only get $1, one loony, one vote to spend.
What have the polls been telling you about BCers awareness of this and how it'll go on the 12th?
Awareness of the referendum is pretty high, and we're seeing that there's still a really strong desire for change. It's this is not something that was just a blip in BC's history. We really see that this current system just continues to not work for us. Now, it's going to be a close referendum because 60% is a really high threshold. No British Columbian government has ever been elected with support that high. So we're requiring British Columbians to be pretty united when they go to the polls on May 12th when we ask for 60%. But remember, this isn't partisan politics that divides and polarizes us. This is something that has support, right, from Green to NDP to Liberal to the Conservative, and so I'm really confident that we're gonna get STV this time.
Do you find that the No side is perhaps more partisan than your organization?
Well, we're really a grassroots organization. We've got thousands of volunteers who are working on this across the province and in their communities. The No side is a much smaller group of people, and they tend to have been people who've been involved in backroom politics for their whole lives. They certainly represent maybe a number of different political parties, but the commonality they have, I think, is the current system is easier for them to use. It's easier for an agenda to be put forward in the back room of a party and carried forward, whereas they're a little uncomfortable with giving voters the power and making MLAs accountable to voters.
Now, just back to the ballot again. Shrek talks about a confusion of overmarking of the ballots. Do you find that in states that use STV, like Australia, Ireland, and Malta, that there is a high number of spoiled ballots?
No, not at all. Australia is always a bad example because they have mandatory voting, and so people have to spoil their ballots to get out of voting. But Ireland, you can compare, and Malta, you can compare and see that spoiled ballots are slightly lower, roughly the same, but I would say nothing statistically different. Pretty similar to what we have here.
Now, there's a certain disengagement from the public on the general election. People can't seem to pay attention to it, and that's what I've heard from the pundits that we've had on the program. Do you find that that's the same? You talked about the high level of engagement, an interest in reform, I should say, but do you find that people don't know much about STV despite having had voted for it 4 years ago?
We're actually finding that a lot of people are saying, I'm not even planning on voting for a party this time, but I'm coming out to vote for this. They've become so frustrated with with how the current system treats them and their vote, that they recognize that this is the most important ballot they're ever going to cast.
Now, will STV elect minority parliaments?
Actually, STV is, I think, less likely, based on the evidence, to elect minority parliaments. When you look at Ireland in the past 60 years, they've had six minority governments, but Canada, in that same period, has had more elections and nine minority governments. So there's a strong case to be made that we're actually going to be moving to a system that's less likely to produce minority governments. What we're likely to get is governments that represent a true majority of the people, actually 50% plus, rather than this 40% of the votes get 60% of the seats.
Now, you mentioned, when you talked about the process of how the vote works, you mentioned that analogy of the loony. To some people who hear it for the first time, it may sound complicated. Will the counting of the ballots, will that be done by people, or will that be done by computers?
Well, it was very important for the Citizens' Assembly that we have a system that can be counted by hand. We want paper ballots for transparency and to have a paper trail, and we want to be able to be counted by hand. The reality is, I think, that across the province, regardless of what electoral system we are using, we're moving towards computerized counting, just like we're using in a lot of municipalities in BC now. You mark your paper ballot and you slide it in and it scans it. And with computerized counting, I think the last Irish election, they had the results in something like 49 seconds after the polls closed.
Now, if STV does not pass on May 12th, does this mean the end of electoral reform in BC?
I think it means the end of electoral reform in BC and the end of electoral reform across Canada. Politicians have been talking about fixing the democratic deficit for 25-plus years, and they don't tend to get around to it that often. We had a remarkable opportunity when Premier Campbell put forward the Citizens' Assembly, and this has given us an alternative that was proposed by citizens for citizens, by voters for voters, and we really have to take this opportunity. And it's not just in BC. People from across Canada are watching and saying, you know, if it doesn't happen in BC, no politician's going to put this back on the table for a generation.
Shoni, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. This has been most informative, and continued good luck with the campaign.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. The website for more is stv.ca. Whatever your preference, don't forget to vote on the 12th. Shoni Field on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.